Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Game Develop Repeat. I'm your host, Chris, and today I want to have a conversation about when to abandon or scrap or salvage a project, when to go, you know what, this isn't the right project, it's time to move on. Because that is something that I'm thinking very strongly about doing right now with my current project. I haven't given you a lot of details on the current project. I'll give you some details today. But I'm thinking that it might not be the right project for this time in my life, for this moment, for the goals that I have right now. So I'm very strongly considering scrapping this project and just reusing some of the stuff I've worked on and moving on to something else. I'll talk about how I got to that point, but the first part I want to mention is I was inspired by a YouTube video that I watched, which was not at all about abandoning projects, not even close. It was about picking the right project. It was about marketing in relation to the game you're making. And it made me think about some of the things I've talked about on this podcast. It made me think about some of the things that I think make games worth playing, make games successful, and make games worth making. It made me think about all of that stuff, and it made me go, I think I'm working on the wrong thing right now. I think right now the project I'm working on is it's defying a bunch of my own stuff that I tell myself to do. I think it is the wrong path, and I'll walk you through that and hopefully give you some thoughts about how to pick the right project in the first place and how to know whether or not to abandon a project. And it's not that I know what to do. It's that I hope that hearing me going through this thought process will help you go through your own thought process, right? So let's go into this a bit. Let's sink our teeth in and figure this whole thing out. To start with, I'm going to give you an overview of what the project I've been working on looks like, what it is, and what my goals for it are, okay? And we're going to compare it with Soot, my first project, just a little bit, because I think it's going to be valuable for the upcoming conversation here. The current project is essentially a narrative-driven mini-game game, right? So you play through it. As you make choices, it pushes you towards playing certain mini games, okay? And the mini games will adjust in difficulty as you go through them or as you play them, and by the end of the game, you'll have played all the mini games and you'll have experienced this story, and ta-da, done, great. Gonna have a lot of comedic elements to it. Going to have the idea is that you'll have a pretty compelling hero who is going on this kind of hero's journey situation, right? He's learning to accept his own responsibility while also kind of trying to be a lazy bum the whole time. And the mini games are all the things he doesn't want to do, okay? So that's the concept. Now, in contrast, Soot is a 50-level 2D platformer with a wall-sticking mechanic. That's it. Intentionally very minimalistic art style, right? Because art was not one of my strengths, and I thought, you know, I can make it look pretty good with a minimal art style and sticking with, like, darker color schemes. Like, I can get away with this, you know? I was limiting scope like crazy. That was the whole thing with Soot. Limit the scope, limit the scope, limit the scope, set a deadline. That was the whole goal of Soot, was make a game, finish a game, publish a game, done. And make sure that it is good enough that I am proud of it. Make sure that it is something people can play and enjoy, and I can look at it and I can go, yeah, I made that. And I'm very proud of that game. I'm very happy with that game. Whenever somebody else tries it out, I'm like, amazing. Please try it out. Tell me what you think. Give me any feedback you got, good, bad, whatever. Beautiful. And I got lucky. I got some feedback from a speedrunner. I got to watch a speedrunner play my game. That was marvelous. I got so much information from that and learned a lot from, like, just learned a lot about design and, like, intentionality and all this good stuff. It was a really, really good experience. Great. What are my goals for this new game, right? we're looking at it and we're going, okay, we've got 6 mini games. We've got a narrative structure. What are the goals? What had me go, let me make this game? What had me go, okay, I'm going to start working on this game? And I think it started with me going, this is a cool idea. This is a fun idea. Let's start working on it, which is great. That is a really good start to something. Now I'm looking at it again and I'm going, okay, what are my goals with this game? And that's where things get interesting. This will seem like a bit of a pivot, but hear me out. This whole idea, this whole episode of the podcast, the whole thought of maybe I should pivot to a different game started because I watched a video by Eastshade Studios, which is a developer that I massively respect. Eastshade is a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to their next game, Songs of Glimmerwick. So when this video popped up, I was like, well, I'm definitely watching this. This is a topic that interests me. Let's check it out. And the video was, marketing is not why most indie games fail. And I'm like, that's not a video that I would expect to see from the Eastshade Studios. I've never paid attention to their YouTube. I haven't really paid attention to any of their social media. But their game is just this like super wholesome, very like artsy project. Like I played that game and I was like, this is a game made from pure passion and love and just love of the craft. Like I played this game and I was like, this is beautiful and wonderful. And I have a very old episode on it, that maybe didn't age that well, but it exists. I think it's probably in the first 20 episodes because I do really love this game. So when this person, one of the devs behind Eastshade, puts out a video about marketing, I'm like, all right, let's check it out. I watched this video and I walked away from it going, okay, first off, brilliant, makes perfect sense, great. Second off, I need to reevaluate what I'm doing with my current game. That is exactly where I landed, like instantly. Within like 2 minutes of watching that video, I was like, I think I need to drop this game. I think I need to make a new game. I think the game I'm making right now, I have no idea why I'm making it. I have no idea who I'm making it for. I don't even think I'm making it for myself. Now, what was the video about? Why did it have this effect on me? It was about looking at like game stats and determining what's in demand and determining what projects are going to sell and determining what, this is the most important part for me, what the line is for quality of your game for it to get an audience, right? Where is the bar for the sales numbers that you're looking for? So if you look in the 2D platformer category, just to give you an example, if you go on it, I think it's GameStats with like a dash in there somewhere, .com, game-stats.com. If you look in there and you look at 2D platformers, you will see so many 2D platformers and you will see this huge drop off where suddenly every 2D platformer is making less than a grand. Even if the game looks pretty good, right? There's so much competition. And we all kind of know this about platformers, right? I think most of us know this about platformers in general. It's a very oversaturated market. And it's a very popular game to make. I didn't mind that making soot. That's completely fine. But I want my next game to have more players, all right? I want more people to play my next game. I just do. I want to create something that a lot of people experience. I don't want it to, like, I am freaking hyped at the number of people that have played Soot. I love it. I'm excited. It's beautiful. By the way, less than 100 people. This game has not been widely played. And I freaking love every single person that has played it. It's so cool to me, all right? I love that feeling. I love the fact that people have taken the time to play this game and some of them have been like, I've enjoyed this. This is a great like experience. This has been nice. This has been enjoyable to some extent. Here's a little feedback for you. And I go, okay, great, beautiful. Thank you. Perfect. I'll keep that in mind. That's great. I want my next project to reach more people. I don't know how else to put that. I want I want to create a viable career path. And in order to do that, I need my next project to reach more people. Two, if I'm not going to make a 2D platformer, I want to be intentional about my next project. That's what I'm really saying. I want to be intentional about what my second released game is. And the project that I'm working on right now, what is the goal? What is the intention? I started it because I went, this is a cool thing to work on. Beautiful. I've played with it some. Have I already accomplished that? I learned Godot using it. That was kind of a big part of the goal. And I learned that. I learned a good chunk of how to use Godot. And then now what's the goal? Did it fulfill the goal already? It kind of did. Because I don't really want to make this big narrative game. I do want to have this, like, I like the idea of having kind of a comedic angle on it. That seems great. I like the idea of this, like, oddball hero. That seems like a lot of fun. I like the idea of kind of messing with the player a little bit, having, like, a little fourth wall breaking stuff and all of these ideas. I think that's great. But I'm not really excited about these mini games. I kind of just want one game. I want one game that is really nice. I also recently played Minami Lane. Minami Lane is such a good experience. It's so polished. It knows exactly what it wants to be, and it is that thing. It does it. It does it beautifully. It's marvelous, all right? It kills it. It nails a specific feel. It's beautiful. What is my game? The one I've been working on? What feel is it nailing? It's not. It's not moving towards some specific goal, neither in gameplay nor in my own life, right? It's not nailing down a goal for me, or I think for my players. And one of the bits of feedback that I got about Soot that was really fantastic is there's like a moment in Soot where there's this blind fall and you fall to your death. And the idea when I put that in was, wouldn't it be cheeky, because this game is in the dark, if you fall to your death sometimes and you have to be careful and you have to kind of stick to the walls and be a little cautious and like pay attention to what you're doing. This only happens like one or two times. Well, you know what? It probably happens more than that. But these blind falls are not a core constant thing. So it ends up shifting the feeling of the game a lot just in a moment. And it then doesn't really feel right. It feels like the game doesn't know what it is. Exactly. Like, it's not clear what the game is. It's not clear if the game is meant to be like a precision platformer speedrunner game, or if it's meant to be like a casual atmospheric game, or if it's meant to be like a rage-inducing game. And you don't have a chance to dodge out of this blindfall the first time it happens, unless you're sticking to the wall obsessively, just based on the way that you play the game, like if you're being constantly cautious. And if I wanted you to feel constantly cautious and afraid, then I would have designed the game better around that. This is not exactly what this person said in their feedback. Basically, what they said is these blind drops are a little bit weird. It doesn't seem all that intentional. You know, if you're using a blind drop, you should use it with like a really good purpose behind it. So it actually, they did basically say that. I'm just rewording what their feedback was and how I understood it. So with that in mind as well, this mini game, even if I try to redesign it, I don't know what my intention for it is. You know? It doesn't make sense. That's not it. That's not the project right now. And that's completely fine. I haven't sunk that much time into this project, which is another great thing. I can, and some of these assets I can reuse big time. And I learned how to use Godot by working on this project. And then I learned this whole thing that I'm talking about right now by working on this project. So I think now's the time to say goodbye to it. I think now is the time to say, okay, we're going to put you in a folder. We're going to tuck this idea away. Maybe I revisit it one day, but you know, maybe I don't. And that's fine. I want to work on a specific goal right now. Now let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the thing that I'm excited about. Let's get to the real reason we're here, because this is an exciting moment for me. I'm starting to understand what my new goal is. When I was trying to find a game idea last, I was like, I don't know what the next thing is. I finished Soot and I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to play around, I guess. And I didn't realize I was just playing around. If my goal was just play around for a few months and then figure it out, that would have probably been more beneficial. But that's kind of what I ended up doing anyway, so screw it, whatever. My new goals that I've found, the new exciting good stuff that's just registering for me in the last like day or two, I want to make a game that is slightly bigger than Soot in terms of scope. More importantly, I want to make a game that is much more polished. I want to make a game that is tight. I want to make a game that has a clear identity. I want to make the kind of game that some people play and they go, screw this game. I don't like this at all. It's too cute. It's too difficult. It's too this. This game is not for me. And I want it to be crystal clear. The moment that they look at the Steam page for this game, whether or not it's for them. I want this game to have such a clear personality that you click on that Steam page and you go, nope, nope, definitely not. Or, oh, yep, that's it. That's what I want to try that. I want to try that game. That's for me. I want to check it out. That's the aim. That's the ideal. It's a hard ideal to reach. I also want to be a little bit more intentional about finding an audience for the game. I've looked through game stats a fair bit after watching that video from East Shade Studios. And I've looked and I've kind of tracked down a genre that I'm passionate about anyway. That looks like it has some potential. It's not like really chasing the market that much. There's not a lot going on in this genre. And like maybe the audience is there, maybe it isn't. But it is definitely a better shot than making a 2D platformer. And I know that's a little discouraging towards 2D platformers. If you make a 2D platformer and you want it to be financially successful, take East Shade Studios' advice, look at those stats, look at the cutoff line, and say, hey, what is the level of quality that I need to reach to have a chance, even a chance, at making this amount of money or getting this big of an audience, right? Because that's kind of how it translates to me. I look at the dollar signs and I go, okay, great, cool. That means a lot of people are playing this game. that's great. I want a lot of people playing this game. And like, I am also trying to make a career out of indie game development. So at some point, I got to start paying attention to money, to business, to building an audience, to how many people I'm serving, I think is the way I actually want to pay attention to it. I don't think I want a voice in the back of my head constantly saying, how much money is this project going to make? I think I do want a voice in the head saying, how many people is this project going to serve? And simultaneously, does it fit my own interests? I am not going to make a game that serves a ton of people if I'm not interested in making that game. So if I can't find a category of game that I want to make that has an audience that wants it, then I need to not be trying to do it as a career. You know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't be trying to do this as a career if the games that I'm interested in making have zero audience, right? Luckily, I'm interested in most games. So it's not hard for me to find something that I'm excited about making that other people might be excited about playing. So that's hype. That's good stuff. So the goal, just to reiterate, to get back to the important point, the goal for this next project, as far as I see it right this moment, and it's an evolving goal still, as I guess all goals probably are and probably should be to a certain extent, the goal here is make a game that is more polished than my previous title and has a distinct personality, a distinct audience. It is for somebody. It is not for somebody else. That's what we're aiming at. That's what we're trying to do. And I have some personality traits for the game in mind, right? I want it to be a bit fourth wall breaky, but not in the extreme way. You know what? Maybe not. No, not even fourth wall breaky. I'm going to get too caught up in the details. I'm going to get caught up in trying to design this right now if I start talking about it. I want there to be a little lightheartedness in the game is what I'm getting at. I think the fourth wall breaks can sometimes go a little over the top and I often don't like that, but I do want a certain level of lightheartedness. I do want a certain level of like carefreeness with just a touch of morbidity to it, you know? Kind of a Cult of the Lamb kind of thing where it's like, well, everything's so cute, but also something's not right here, you know? We're like, man, nothing is right here, but they are very cute. That sort of a thing. That's not a perfect description of what I'm aiming for, but, you know, close enough to give you a vague idea of the direction that my mind is in right now. So that's why I'm considering scrapping this project. Now, how do I make this into more like actionable, useful stuff for you? If you're listening to this and you're going, should I scrap this project? Should I pay attention to this? Should I do this? Well, mostly I think having the conversation is helpful because then you can hear that other people are going through the same thing if you're going through that right now. But I think notice your goals would be the angle that the lesson that I'm taking away from this. Notice your goals. Notice the goals of this project. Does this project serve you in the long run right now? Does this project serve you in the short term? Is this the right thing to be working on at the moment? And also, how much time have you invested in this? I'm in a really good position as far as ditching this project. If you invested a lot more time in it, if I had invested a lot more time in this current project, I would probably be going, how can I pivot on this? How can I reshape this project? By the way, I do intend to use a lot of the assets that I made for this project. I do intend to potentially, I intend to look at it. I intend to go, okay, these assets are good and I want to use them. Is the game that I'm making, can I use these in this game? Does that work? But that's not something to get too tied up in, right? Because it's not that big of an investment and I don't want to make the game worse by forcing assets into it. So, the biggest things here were the realization of scope. The realization that I cannot make the quality of game that I want to in the time that I have with the scope that I have set out to make. It's not going to work. Within the 6 minigames, there's too many minor differences to polish. I can't just reuse the sound effects everywhere. I'm going to want them to be different. I can't reuse the art everywhere. I'm going to want it to be different. I'm going to have to do level design for all of these the way that I do. Like, it's only going to have like 3 or 4 playthroughs of each mini game. If I don't structure this right, there's going to be too much narrative to write. It's going to be like writing an entire book on top of the game, and I know how long that can take. It's too much stuff, not enough polish, and I would end up at a point where I would go, okay, well, we've made all of this. We just have to finish it. And then I would release something half-baked. And I'm not going to set myself up to end up releasing something half-baked. Or I would give up on it entirely because I don't want to release something half-baked. This might be more likely. And then I would go, actually, this is definitely more likely. I would go, okay, I'm not releasing this. And then I would take the whole thing and chalk it up to like a waste of time or put it in a drawer or something. I don't know exactly what would happen, but I don't like it. I don't like that path. And I'm recognizing that early on enough that I can go, okay, we're going to pick a different direction. And in picking that direction, we're going to practice looking at a specific market. Not just because that's the way to build it into a career, but because it's going to help me guide myself towards making a game with a personality, making a game that is easy to market. Because I can look at it and I can go, this is exactly what it is. People who see this are going to go, that's what I've been waiting for. Or, ugh, another one of those? Oh, God. Oh, it's so pixel arty. It's so whatever. There's too much pixel art and I can't stand it. Or it's too cute, or it's too dark, or it's too this. I want that. I want people to not buy the game because it's not their vibe. How many people look at Eastshade and go, oh, I'm not buying that. I don't want some chill game about painting trees and animals and stuff. I'm not interested in that at all. Great. You know that. You know that immediately. Now we don't have to worry about that negative review because the trailer told you exactly what the game is, and then you went, all right, well, I'm not going in that direction. And the developer was like, okay, well, it's not for you, so that's okay. Good. I'm glad I'm not wasting your time here. So, yeah, I hope that's a useful discussion of that. I know it's a bit of a rant, but it's very, like, it's been tied up in my mind for a day or two, and I've just been thinking about this and going, okay, there's so much I want to say about this topic. Now, let's do my development check-in very quickly. This is another thing where I have more news. This is another thing where I've got interesting intel, interesting stuff going on. I'll share it very quickly. Hold on. Dev side of things. I was trying to do the freaking autotiler, the terrain thing in Godot, and it was driving me crazy. People who are watching the stream know this. It was really getting under my skin, and then I reached a moment of peace about it and just started accepting it and working on it. And I was really stubborn, and I was like, I'm going to just keep figuring out how to use this because I want to use this tool properly and I want to understand how it works. And I think there's something under the hood that I'm not understanding or something. I'm making some weird assumption, and it's just, it keeps kind of glitching out. And let me be very clear. It is completely serviceable. You can absolutely still use it, and you can manually replace the individual tiles that are not doing the correct thing. And there are not that many that are doing the wrong thing. I still like this system more than Unity's auto tiling system, but I want to understand it and I want to be able to use it and have it work perfectly, or at least as close to perfectly as it feasibly can. I have yet to figure out whether I'm encountering a bug or I just don't know what I'm doing. And odds are I just don't know what I'm doing, but you never know. So I'm trying to figure that out, and that's a frustrating process. I spent the entire stream working on that. this past Friday? I say the entire stream, the 3 hours of game dev stream, and then I pivoted to playing a game. So that's that side of development. The other side of development is this podcasting, and then do Twitch streaming and setting up all the stuff around that, and then doing Ko-fi. I started up a Ko-fi, or a coffee, as people always say, but it's spelled K-O-F-I. So it just feels like it should be, oh, you know what? It should be Ko-fi, like lo-fi, but Ko-fi. So I made a Ko-fi. That feels like I've got a crazy accent for some reason. So I made one of those, and this was something that felt very intimidating. I was going into it. I was like, first off, I don't, you know, it's the whole monetization thing that I have like I'm uncomfortable with it. But I wanted to make it. I wanted to start working towards that. I want to start taking these things very seriously and like, or putting a sincere effort towards like actually turning this into a career in the long run. And that means setting down those initial bits of groundwork, foundational stuff. So I've made this, and it's a whole thing. It's very intense to figure out and to do, but it's not as intense as you would think. Like, I think starting up one of these sorts of things is like, look into it, see what you have time for, see what you can allocate, and don't get caught up in the nitty-gritty stuff. You're going to look at it and you're going to these all these small things that I have to do, and it's too much stuff. That's what I get caught up in. I say give it a shot at a low level and build up on it. I'm kind of giving it a shot at a bigger level. If you're interested in checking that out, it's out there. It's ko-fi.com/anxiousbuddhagames. I'll put a link. But there's a whole bunch of rewards and stuff, and you can support the podcast. You can also do a one-time supporting of the podcast. And I'm going to start doing monthly game prototypes, because I had this idea that was really exciting while talking with one of my real-life friends. And there's like three of them. I'm just messing with you. But I was talking to one of my real life friends, and we were like, wait, Mad Libs, but for game development. Give people like a bunch of word prompts and have them respond to those prompts and put it within a game prompt, like a game jam prompt, And now I have a bunch of prompts for making a game based on basically playing Mad Libs. So I'm going to be doing that every month and making a prototype, which may consume way more of my time than I want it to, but now feels like the perfect time to do it as I figure out some other stuff. If you want to see details on that, like being able to play the prototype or being able to see some behind the scenes stuff, I'm going to do like little vlogs every month. I'm going to have a parody of NFTs that I'm doing, that kind of stuff. You can check out the Ko-Fi. There we go. All right. Let's go to the last bit of this episode. All right. I have two questions that I wrote for myself this week. Maybe they'll help you. Maybe they won't. First question. If you remain on your current trajectory, where will you be in 1 month? So let's narrow this down. Game dev wise, if I remain on my current trajectory, where will I be in 1 month? I would say I'll have learned a small amount about Godot. I'll have finished maybe one mini game within it. This is before I started with the whole side project-y stuff and the pivots that I've made this weekend. If I were just continuing just Twitch and working on this particular game, I think I would get a little bit of progress, learn a little bit of Godot, and I don't think I would get that much within a month. And now, next question is, if you alter your trajectory in some minor way, where will you be in 1 month? And I would say, if I were to alter my trajectory by just switching to a different project, and that is kind of a minor way for me at this point, because I don't have that much invested in this project, I'll be resetting the goal setting. I'll have with the perspective that I've recently gained, I think that a month from now, I will be in a place where I have a solid foundation for a new project. Is that hugely better than being a little further along than the other project? I don't know, but it's the thing I would rather have at the moment. That's the thing that I'm aiming for. That's the thing that fits my particular goals at this moment in my life. So I think that's the angle we're going to go. And honestly, starting the new project might not even work on it that much, because I'm going to try what is essentially a monthly game jam for myself with like a very specific set of goals every month for like a good bit. But I hope to also be working on a primary project. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. I got to balance that out. I got to test it out. We got to see what happens. My tip for myself this week, and maybe it'll help you too, who knows, is to set some goals and externalize my mind when overwhelmed. So I think really what I'm telling myself there is I need to write down these goals and put them up somewhere so that I don't get overwhelmed or confused or mixed up in this process. So I got to set these goals explicitly and externalize. And I think that'll help a lot. And that is something I generally recommend for people, maybe people who are a little bit like me, where they have so much going through their mind for no good reason, or just things looping through your mind. It's not that you have a lot of things, it's that you have one or two things that just keep looping so that you don't forget them or whatever. Externalize it, write it down somewhere, put it somewhere very visible, that sort of thing. That is everything that I have for you this week. As always, I've got the Twitch stream, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 p.m. Now I've got the Ko-Fi. I will put a link. There you go. The end. End of the episode. Thank you for tuning in. Hope it was useful for you. I will catch you in the next one. Until then, get out there, make some stuff, and have fun with it. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.